You'll ask the question tonight. I think if the vowel will ask the question, you say, are you a fan or a follower?
I am a follower.
Yeah. So you'll ask that question tonight and try to answer that question. But first, let us read out of the Bible at Mark 8, verse 34 to 38. Mark 8, verse 34. Now, when he, that is Jesus, had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever wishes to lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same will save it. For what will it profit a man if he will gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. It's hard to believe that we are already at the end of January. I was this week in Stellenbosch, and the schools and universities already started for the year. And it let me think when I see all the students there in Stellenbosch of what a student have to achieve to be part of the university, to be accepted as a student at the university. And it let me think about the time when I had to fill in all that forms to and go through the application process. And there is many criteria that a person had to have to accomplish before you were accepted as a student. And it seems to be quite a big variance in the criteria to be able to get in. And we all know that not everybody is able to get into a university and study there because they have very high standards for an entry. One thing the teachers between us will tell you also that you have to do well at school to be accepted as a university student. Now, we may think that this is new to our times, but the fact of the matter is the same type of thing went on around in the time of Jesus when he was here on earth in flesh. You see, in Jesus' time, there was schools too. There were schools of the individual rabbis, and learned young men would seek out an individual rabbi to study under and become his disciple or his follower. When I study at the university, some of my students friends, they follow a certain professor in all the ways he do, and at the end of our studies, they walk like him and they talk like him and they do all the things. Their hand size is that professor's hand size. So when they also preach, they preach like that professor. So, and I think that is what happened also in Jesus' time. We see that the scripture tells us that the Apostle Paul studied under the Rabbi Gamaliel. In Acts 22, verse 3, he says, under Gamaliel I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers. Now, rabbis would typically not just take anybody from the street to study under them. Who they allow to study under them would reflect on them so that they first they will go and test them, and they will make sure that they were learned men and they will have the capacity to learn more. And they will make sure that they were not sinners, but righteous, at least according to keeping the law. And then they would allow them to study under them. When we were allowed to study, or when you were allowed to study under one of these rabbis, then you will be known as a disciple or a follower of that rabbi. We see in the New Testament that many teachers had disciples and followers. In Mark 3 verse 18, the people were wondering about fasting, and it says that, we read there in Mark 2 verse 18, some people came and asked Jesus, "How is that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" We see in that verse that both John the Baptist and some of the Pharisees had disciples. And the disciples of these men would follow them and be with them wherever they went. Not only did these rabbis and teachers have disciples, but we know that Jesus had disciples and followers as well. And the last thing that he told his followers, his disciples that were with him on earth, was to go and make disciples, more disciples, more followers of all the nations. We read that in Matthew 28, verse 19, where Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." And that is why I will ask the question tonight is, are you a fan or a follower of Jesus Christ? Not a fan in the sin in Afrikaans. People say of a fan, it's a wire. My brother is teaching at the English School Afrikaans, and one of his English students, write an essay about her father, and she said, "My pa is a groot rugby wire." So he was very puzzled about that, she had to look in the dictionary what it means a fan, and she sees it means a wire in Afrikaans. So but it's not that type of fan we talk about. We will ask the question, are you a fan, a supporter, or a follower of Jesus Christ? And today, Jesus is still calling people to become his disciple or follower. And that is why we had to answer this question, are you a follower of Jesus? Or just a fan that is on the sidelines? Tonight, I want to consider who Jesus is calling to follow him and what the specifics of that call are. And I want to do this by asking and answering some questions. And first I want to ask is, Who can be a follower of Jesus? Who can be Jesus a follower? You can move it to that slide, please. Slide 4. Who can be Jesus' follower? Because we know from history that not everyone was invited to be a follower of these other teachers in Jesus' time. And the question is, who did Jesus desire to be his disciples, his followers? What we find from Scripture is that anyone can be Jesus' follower. Jesus' commission to those who were his followers already was to go and make more people his followers. We read in Matthew 28, verse 19, where Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." And in that verse, he said to make followers, not of only certain people, but he said to his disciples, go and make followers of anyone and everyone. Go to all nations. When we become his follower, we enter into that saving relationship with him. Throughout the scripture, we see that this is available to anyone and everyone. In Romans 10, verse 11 to 13, Paul wrote and said, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Is that wonderful? Hallelujah. So anyone can be a follower of Jesus. No one is not allowed to be a follower. Everyone can be a follower of Jesus. And this is one of the things that was unique about Jesus when he calling his disciples. And these were not the elite of Israel like the other rabbis were calling, men of knowledge and learning who had great potential and were from great families. They were not the A candidates of last year matric class, or the head boy or head girl of the captains of the first teams. Now these were the underserving and visibly unrighteous people of that time, like Matthew the tax collector, ordinary people like Peter and James and John, fishermen, working classmen. And listen to what the rulers and the elders of Jesus' time, those men who were choosing the best and the brightest to be their disciples, listen to what they said about Peter and John after Jesus had resurrected and ascended into heaven. And Peter and John were out boldly teaching and proclaiming the truth about Jesus. We read in Acts 4, verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. These ordinary men, those unschooled men, were followers and disciples of Jesus and now were bold proclaimers of the teachings of Jesus and of his death and resurrection from the dead. Maybe you sit here tonight thinking you are unworthy of being a follower of Jesus. And I can tell you tonight, honestly, you are. But the fact is, we all are unworthy to be his disciples. But except the fact that we all are, he calls us to follow him anyway. And as we become his follower, he changes us. It was wonderful to hear last Sunday morning the testimony of one of the young ladies in our church, how Jesus changes her life as she became a follower of Jesus. You may think that you have done too many wrong things in your past for the Lord to forgive you. You haven't so failed in life that the Lord could not possibly care about you. The great news are that he does care about you. You may think that your life, even right now, is so unchristlike that you have little hope of ever seeing change. But I can tell you tonight, there is hope. There is hope in Christ. De Waal tells us also that this morning. We can ask Matthew, the tax collector, whom Christ changed. There is hope. Ask Peter and John, working class, ordinary, unschooled men, whom Christ changed and used in extraordinary ways. Ask Paul, the murderous Pharisee who persecuted Christians, who Christ changed and used in extraordinary ways and make him one of the greatest missionaries of all time. Now you can ask De Waal and Louis and me and Sean, everyone here that work, follow Jesus. Yeah, I also, in my life, served the gods of in this world, but there is hope. Christ changed me. And I stand here tonight and tell you that there is hope in Christ. There is hope that your life can be transformed into one that is glorifying the to the Lord. There is hope for anyone who becomes his follower, and anyone is welcome to become his follower. Okay? That is great. We all can come and be his follower. So anyone is welcome. But the next question is, what is the cost to be a follower of Jesus Christ? What does it cost to be his follower? And this is also good news. It costs nothing. It costs nothing. It is free of cost to you in the sense that you can't do anything to pay for it or merit it. Jesus paid the cost with his life. Listen what he says in Revelation 21 verse 6. He says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. If you want to come to Jesus and follow him, if you are thirsty, Jesus said, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of life. In Revelation 22, verse 17, whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. It is free for all who would come and follow, and it is available to anyone. And that brings us back to our beginning of this sermon. And we're going back to our university analogy from the beginning. And this is like not only being accepted into the most awesome university, despite your grades or test scores, and be offered a full ride scholarship. How awesome is that? It's not what you, what your matric results were at matric, but you are offered a full ride scholarship at the university and you can go there. But I have a question though. If it's open to anyone, and if it costs nothing to be his follower, and possibly you ask that question also many times, then why in the world is not everyone coming to the Lord? Let me repeat it. If it is open to anyone and it costs nothing, then why in the world is not everyone coming to the Lord? Well, here is the thing. While following Jesus is really open to everyone and it costs nothing, it also costs everything. De Waal also, in his sermon this morning, raak daaraan, touch on it, yes. It costs everything. It costs nothing, but it also costs everything. But how can it cost nothing and everything? Well, listen to what Jesus tells those who would follow him in Mark 8:34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? While there is nothing you can do to pay or pay for the salvation of your soul, you will not save your soul if you do not follow Christ wherever that leads to. It is like not you are offered a full ride scholarship at the university and you're not using it. That would be like being accepted to a certain university and getting full ride scholarship, but not going there. Yes, you have to go there if you are going to realize the benefits of being accepted and being offered a full ride scholarship. So even though you have been accepted and it costs you nothing to go, you have to leave where you are to go there. You can't stay at home and go to university. And just like you are not a graduate of Stellenbosch or UCT, if you never went there, if you were accepted and offered a full ride, you are not a Christian. if you don't follow Christ. Mark 1 verse 16 to 20, and that is amazing, all the scriptures the Lord gave us the past week or two, also in the sermons and in the cell groups, and in our meeting last Wednesday. Mark 1 verse 16 to 20, and as he walked by the sea, that is Jesus, by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. You see, you can't be a follower of Jesus without following Jesus. You can't stay where you are now and follow Jesus. While it is free to follow, the following itself is costly. James and John and Peter and Andrew, they have to leave their boats and fishers' net with their fathers and their brothers and their friends and follow Jesus. Following Jesus itself is costly. What it means? Following Jesus means denying yourself and not going your own way. Mark 8 verse 34, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Following Jesus mean persecution. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3 verse 12, "Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." I only touch on these. I don't go further with it, but I think the scripture is declaring itself tonight. Following Jesus means suffering. Philippians 1 verse 29. "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Following Jesus means hardship. 2 Timothy 2 verse 3. "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And following Jesus is for me not a vocation. It is like it's not like boarding a cruise ship, but it's like boarding a battleship. That is following Jesus. People think becoming a Christian is sometimes like boarding a cruise ship. But becoming a Christian is more like getting on a battleship, because you are going to be attacked. And we will need to have on the full armor of God to be able to stand up under the attacks we will face as a follower of Christ. You see, following Jesus will cost you everything. It may even cost you your life. I think it will definitely cost you the life you dreamed about before being a Christian. However, I will tell you that the dream in your head would have been nothing like reality. It's like that, hollow chocolate Easter bunnies. When I was a little child, I saw one in a shop, and I think, yeah, that is a lot of chocolate. And I dream of it. And one day, somebody gave me one, and I was over the moon of it. And I think, yeah, that's a lot of chocolate for a child. So, but and that is the and but the reality strike me when my mouth watered for it, but only to bite into it and found out it's hollow. And the life you dream about may look good on the outside. It will look like that big chocolate Easter bunny, but it is hollow without Christ. You may dream of riches, but once you have it, you will find it isn't what you thought it would be. As the many lottery winners who win and have nothing left, and their life is nothing like this used to be because they have lost friends and family, and many times you hear, "I wish I never won." As the people who have made great amounts of wealth only to find out that they never have enough. Following Christ will cost you financially if that is where you have to put your hope. Following Jesus is going to cost you in the areas that you have treasured and sought after, as opposed to seeking and following him. But Jesus told his followers in Mark 8, verse 36, he said, "What good it is for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul." We need to realize that this life is very short, and this life will pass soon. And that the life we live here on earth is not only the only life what is there. We need to realize that we have an eternity that is beyond compare to any suffering or sacrifice in this life. We can follow well when we have our eyes on Jesus. We can follow well when we know the surety of the inheritance we have in Christ. Hebrews tells us Moses could have experienced the riches of Egypt, being known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but instead sought to follow the Lord rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. And how did he do that? It says there in Hebrews 11, verse 26, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, he looked to the reward." Following Christ will cost you your life in this world, but he, Jesus, leads us as a good shepherd into an inheritance in eternity that can never perish or spoil or fade, as Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1 verse 4. We see this that following Jesus is available to anyone, including you and me. And it costs you nothing to follow, but the following itself costs you everything. Can I repeat my question? Are you a follower or just a fan? As a fan, You can sit on the sideline on the pavilion and cheer and like what you see and hear. And the offer is there to come down on the field and get in the game. Get part of the game. And you can be assured that getting in the game will beat you up quite a bit. But unlike any other game that is played today, the outcome of getting involved and following Christ is already determined and guaranteed, as is the outcome of those who refuse to follow Him. An eternity in heaven is where the path of following Christ leads. Every other path leads to an eternity in hell. You also heard this morning in Matthew 7 verse 13, wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. To get on the narrow road that Christ is leading people on, you must firstly receive Him as your Savior. Putting your belief in Him as your Savior, as God in the flesh who died for you and rose from the dead. Won't you begin following Him today, if you have not already, by confessing Him as your Lord? The Bible tells us that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. In Romans 10 verse 9. Following Jesus begins with this first step: to confess He is the Lord. And He is drawing you to Himself if you are here tonight. Will you follow Him? Amen. And if you decided you will follow Him from this moment, you are welcome to come and forward after this service, and we will pray with you. And if the Lord touches your heart and you decide, but from now on you will follow Him wherever He leads you. Gerda tells us in the beginning of this sermon about all the things there is for a follower of Jesus Christ. There are the foundations you can join. There are the Bible school. There are the cell groups. And there are many places where Christians gather around the word of Jesus and learn from Jesus. And let be the Holy Spirit be your teacher in following Him. May God bless you.